Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Becky. Becky is a 2020 American action thriller film directed by Jonathan Millet and Carrie Murnion from a screenplay by Nick Morris, Lane Sky, and Ruckus Sky. A teenager's weekend at a lake house with her father takes a turn for the worse when they are besieged by a gang of neo-Nazis.
Beg your pardon, sir.
Yes.
Ruckus?
I was waiting for the reaction. Yes, somebody's called him a ruckus.
I looked this up last night when we were watching the movie.
I forgot that was the guy's name.
Ruckus. That's crazy from you.
Ruckus.
I'll never forget it. Ruckus Sky.
It's a good name.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's his birth name? Or has he changed it?
Well,
we can find out.
What was the other sky in that?
Lane Sky.
Lane Sky. More like Lame Sky.
Come on, get something sick like Ruckus.
No, I'll stand by that. I will.
Ruckus. Bring the ruckus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ruckus is a great word.
Good name. And a great word, yeah.
And an appropriate word for this movie.
This movie is a violent
Becky
ruckus.
Becky causes a bit of a ruckus, you could say.
Lulu Wilson is causing a bit of a ruckus.
A small ruckus.
In what?
Just a little tiny ruckus.
She's a little tiny.
She's a small ruckus.
She's a little human
ruckus.
It's
a small ruckus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mentioned making a ruckus in the hearts and minds of us being like, whew.
She's a growing horror icon, having been in a couple of the Flam Man's projects.
Haunting of Hill House. Young Cheryl.
Yes.
Yes.
Hill House.
What did I say?
No, I couldn't say the word Hill House.
Oh,
and
okay.
I said Hurglehug.
Yeah. I should have believed in myself.
I think that is German for Hill House.
Yeah, so, me too.
You're on track.
Well, you did it. Well done.
I did. Woo.
You've got listeners in Germany. At least one.
They're like, man. Tom didn't say Hill House at all. He bullied my mum. Gotta kill him.
He put a curse on us.
Yes.
No, she's very good.
Yeah.
What is good
she, she's in...
Annabelle Creation.
Okay. Annabelle Creation.
Isn't she also in... Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong person. I thought she was also in Ouija Origins.
I mean, I can check. I
please
can check
do.
Right now.
Please
but
do.
I know.
I need to know.
You know, I think you're cooking there. I think you are cooking.
I think I am cooking.
Youngest child.
Yeah, the one that gets possessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's a freak in that, if it is her.
Yep, I think he's
cooked. And I mean that as the biggest compliment.
Okay, so we've
has
got her
cooked?
In
has he
Wrath
cooked?
Of.
Has he cooked?
Just look in. Just look for Ouija.
I'm scrolling through. I'm scrolling through.
Because she's a slow, outdated website called
IMDb.
IMDb,
yes.
I will find you.
And?
I will Becky you so hard.
I think we need think the we need like a letterbox private investigator.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Letterboxd PI, fuck him. Stealing my work.
Wikipedia sleuth.
I am
steal all your work because he gets results quicker.
Incorrect. She is in Ouija Origin.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
And Annabelle Creation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She's a horror icon in the making, as far as I'm concerned.
Just want you to know in future, if you'd looked that up on Letterboxd, we could have found that out 60 seconds ago.
We would have been there. Yep. We like all this time we're now wasting could have been avoided. Such is life. Lulu is a fucking weapon. I'm a big fan. I like... Generally in like Hill House and Ouija and the other one.
Oh, she's also in Usher. She plays young Madeline too, I'm pretty sure.
Is that right?
Let me just double check.
All right.
Give us another 10 minutes.
Yeah, she is. She's younger Madeline.
I don't believe that you looked it up that quickly. You had a look on your face. It was bullshit.
No. Because look, it's literally one of the first things she's done because it's 2023. So
it's the four favourites that got her over the line.
No, there's her known four.
Yeah.
And then it's literally the next thing after the known four.
So it's in the known four. The known four helped him.
It's her most recent credit.
Yeah. Okay. So can I, Corey, sorry, I need to ask an IMDb question then when I have your attention. Thanks.
Yeah.
The Known For used to just have four films.
It does.
So now you can scroll across.
What?
You just said that's what happened.
Yes.
Known For.
Yes. Yes. So you got a four Known For.
Yeah. Are you listening to what I'm asking you?
Yes.
Yeah.
The way the app works is once you get through the Known For, you can scroll and it gives you a chronological
When did the scroll come in? Because that has not always been there.
I've had it since this, probably a year, maybe more.
Okay. So it's a recent addition then.
Yeah. In the history of IMDb. How long has it been since you've been using IMDb as your regular database?
As regular. I don't know, decade?
Since Letterboxd came on the scene?
No, even before then. I probably used Wikipedia before I designed IMDb, to be honest. It's a bit of a slow... They changed the website at some point.
Yeah.
Back in the day when they got rid of the forums, and it just became a little bit...
clunkier, yeah.
A little bit weeds, in the weeds for me.
Okay.
But hey, I respect that you still... You're probably the only person in the world who still uses it.
I don't think I am.
Yeah. I don't think anybody else is using that app.
There are people still reviewing new movies on that.
I think the IMDb Top 250 is entirely compiled by you.
Well, then it wouldn't be
you
the
love Shawshank Redemption.
It wouldn't be anywhere near what
it
was.
Love the Godfather Part 2.
Loch Ness would be in the top 100. You know it.
That's true. It should be anyway.
Yes, yeah. It's a treasure.
Yeah. A brilliant movie. Becky, I quite liked it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been hard on it because I thought that in the third act, the lighting / color grading was extremely horrendous.
Yeah.
To the point where I could not see what
Dark
the fuck
beyond
was going
belief.
On.
Yes.
Looked this up online and haven't seen anybody complain about it. This
technical error on our end.
It's got to be our problem.
The TV was, we were using it on when we watched a movie later. We also were like, wow, this is really fucking weird. Some of the settings on the TV we're using are a bit fucked.
I don't think they are, though. This is the thing.
Like, has anyone used that TV since we were here last?
I doubt it. No one's been here.
But we've never had this issue before.
It's why I still think Becky is the problem.
But it was on both.
Because we did
movies.
Watch another film, which you'll hear on the show at some point. We watched that film after, and like within the first minute, we changed some settings and we turned the brightness up a little bit.
And it worked.
Doing some detective work. Continue.
Yeah, Becky was so dark that all Insane. We did was pump the brightness up like 20 or something.
Really? That's what we did, yeah.
It wouldn't have helped still. It would have been really... quite incomprehensible.
Yeah.
And there were a few little action beats in the third act too, on top of the not being able to really see them properly.
No, no.
They were a little bit disappointing as well.
Yeah, just weren't... Well, let's talk about some of the positives.
Yeah, let's talk about the positives, which is like the majority of this film is positive.
Yeah. Well, should we start with the editing?
The editing's fucking awesome at the start, particularly.
Yes, and the opening sequence where we're getting a day of Becky and a day of Dominic, I think his name is, Kevin James, neo-Nazi. The cross-cutting between the two and the comparison and the match-cutting, fucking insane.
It's still very dark, boys. I'm looking at the final sequence now.
Interesting.
It's better than it was on the TV.
Just for reference,
but
Tom's looking at it on his laptop.
Yeah. Okay. It is still very dark.
How are the settings on your laptop?
I've cranked the brightness up.
You're on full brightness?
Yeah. You can see it a lot better than you could there.
Right.
But it is still... Yeah.
Can you swing it around my way just for a moment?
I feel like it's a situation where the color grading has gone for like, let's have some increased saturation.
It's still too dark.
Still very dark.
Yeah, it's very dark.
That's wild.
Because when we had the day, it was like the colors were really popping in a slightly oversaturated that I liked.
The blood certainly pops.
Right. So I think maybe they've gone, sick saturation. And then at the nighttime scenes, it does not work.
They just haven't balanced it out with more lighting, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think it's our fault with the TV. I think it's already dark. And then the TV settings, maybe the brightness could have gone up a touch. But
they're near a big fire. Do the whole sequence near the fire.
Yeah, when they're near the fire, it wasn't a problem.
Also, just light it up. We talk about this a lot. There's this modern thing for movies where it's like, lighting's got to look natural. I've seen Dune 2. Denny, he's fucking popping.
Yeah.
Because you are lighting it artificially. There's that great, what's that quote from Lord of the Rings? Where's the light coming from?
Same place as the music.
Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
It's a visual medium.
Yeah.
We need to be able to see it.
We
need to be able to see it. We need to be able to hear it.
This obsession with, we've got to make it dark because it's dark. I will shoot every director in the head. All of them. I'll start with Spielberg. No, I can't do that. He's a beautiful man.
Give me unnatural light if it looks fucking good.
Right.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
It's that thing of like, look at like classic noir film, right? You know, the birthplace of like modern cinema.
Right.
And those shots of like lights through like Venetian blinds. Mm. That's not how light works at all.
So extreme.
Shut up. It's good.
Even just like Moonlight. Moonlight can be very strong.
Can be powerful.
Yeah.
Whack a moon in the sky and get on with it.
Pop it in. Don't worry about it.
Don't whack a moon in the sky and be like, hey, this is just lit this way. I guarantee you, no one is going to be like, that movie was really good. I didn't believe that the source of light would be effective in the way that it was used. And if they're saying that, you can run them over with an ATV with a lawnmower attachment on the back.
Yes.
But make sure I can see it.
Yes.
Make sure you start it up and that it works properly.
Yeah.
It works.
So back to the editing.
Back to the good stuff. The editing.
We're being very critical of
all of this. We really
like this. The editing pops. Sorry, Damo.
So yeah, the editing was terrific, which kind of shocked me. The cinematography was also like, obviously that needs to be great for the editing to be great. Yeah, all of it was like working really well. I came into this not knowing Lily Wilson, who generally I was like, I was happy to see her on screen. But the Paul Blart of it all.
Kevin James, the King of Queens.
Kevin James, yeah. The King of Queens, as he's famously known. Yeah.
My mum loves that show.
Does she really?
I loved it when I was younger.
But there's a thing that like mums do. I don't know if you guys experienced this. I don't know what your mums are like in this aspect. My mum loves just having, so they have Foxtel, which for those of our listeners not in Australia, is like a cable service. And basically, they have a bunch of channels with like old like 90s comedies on it. One of them just plays like episodes of like Seinfeld.
Everybody Loves Raymond
and King of Queens.
Yeah.
And my mum loves King of Queens.
King of Queens was a little side shoot of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because the King of Queens character, Kevin James' character, is in Everybody Loves Raymond.
I did not know that.
It's one of Raymond's friends.
Okay, I haven't seen much of King of Queens. Is it pretty much like schlubby husband, doesn't want to do it, and his wife has to nag at him? Like, is it that sort of shit?
A little bit.
And father-in-law lives with them.
And he's a lunatic.
Jerry Stiller.
And then brother-in-law also lives with him and always is there a lot. Right. Oswald. Hey, there's a lizard on that window. Cool.
Cool. Let's let him enjoy his kingdom.
Sorry, I've completely derailed the episode.
That's okay.
That's all right.
It's like a kid when they see like a bird at school. Or when there's a lizard on the window at school.
Yes. Tom, lizards can be spooky.
They can.
We are a spooky podcast. Yeah, can I tell you something else spooky in the lizard realm?
Yeah.
I was walking the dog this morning.
Yeah.
Oh.
Saw massive skin on the side of the road and immediately was like, that's a snake skin.
Yeah, yeah.
So first thought was, is it a snake? Is it the skin of a snake? No, it's an upside down, dead, massive lizard.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of a lizard?
Don't know, man. I don't know. Lizards.
Like a blue tongue?
Don't know. Couldn't see its tongue. Dead.
All right.
I just looked at it and went, fuck me. This is scary times. With that power line that's going. Crackling and sparking. Yes. Some spooky
Did Charlie
stuff
have
going
a go
on down
at the skin?
No, I dragged him away. He didn't even see it.
Okay.
Yep.
Spooky times.
Whew. Sorry, I completely derailed us.
Yeah. I think we're talking about KJ.
KJ,
James,
yeah.
King of Queens.
Yeah, Kevin James.
King of Queens. So he...
Yes, he's the husband who's like, he works hard and then he comes home and his wife's just a normal wife. Yeah, I just want to watch the game and his wife wants him to go to a dinner party or
something. What's the hot ratio on the wife compared to him?
She's attractive. It's Leah Remini or whatever.
Who left Scientology.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She's that. From what I understand though, there's like episodes where you're like, oh, he actually does love his wife.
Mm. Oh, he does.
It's just Elvis time.
Right.
In the same way that Everybody Loves Raymond is the same premise.
Yeah. Jerry Still's very fucking funny.
Excuse me.
Jeez. Fucking the dog up.
This is a chaotic episode.
It really is.
Becky brings out the worst of us.
Yes.
Jerry Stiller's great in that. And Kevin James is great in this. We're back.
Hey.
He really is great in this.
Yeah, so I came in expecting a low bar. But he very quickly stepped over it, which it was mostly just by him actually playing the role. Like, I don't know why I was expecting him to do any of his sort of other character traits.
I didn't expect to buy him in the role. Then when I first saw him looking tough guy prison, massive beard, I was like, I'm not going to be able to get on board this. But he wasn't how I've seen him before. Yeah. He was quiet and intelligent, I think, and subdued.
Yep.
And it was like a quietly sort of scary performance.
Yeah.
He generally doesn't even, in the film, he doesn't really lose his shit until the final act when Becky has absolutely fucked him up seven different ways.
Yeah. He's actually very composed, even when...
Doing some killing.
Doing some killing?
Yeah, even like the some of the first kills, it's like he's on the road and he's calculating how far the gunshot will sound, so he better not kill him that way.
It's a bit where he's like, how far away are you? And he says, oh, we're just down the road a ways. And then he just quietly says to himself, a gunshot will travel half a mile, and then just punches the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Mm. Can I share with the listeners a trivia fact I shared with you about the original holder of the role that eventually went to Kevin James was Simon Pegg.
Crazy to me.
Simon Pegg was locked in. Very and had to stop.
Which clearly says to me that the character was always meant to be more brain than brawn.
Yes.
Which, like, we do see. Like, I think that scene is almost there to show this guy isn't an idiot. He's a fucking Nazi, but he's not an idiot.
He's got idiots with him.
Yes,
he ain't one of them.
Yeah, he's not one of them. Mm. So, like, which is a nice little scene because obviously we've just seen him at the prison. We've seen them basically bust out as they're transporting them somewhere. But you haven't really seen who he is other than, like, I don't know, he handed over Shiv or whatever the fuck.
He's very, it's that thing of, like, he's very happy to be involved in violence, but he's not necessarily getting his hands dirty.
Right, there you go. So, having that scene, even with that scene with the car, he got his hands dirty beating Dad, but he made his henchman Apex kill the children, which is definitely like... You just do that. You just stain your soul with the blood of children. Yeah. I'll take care of
that's not going to come back and bite you in the ass at all, Big Kev.
He's a bad dad. He's got a bit of a problem in that he's like the same age as all of his children as well. It's just a weird little thing, isn't it? Yeah.
But I guess that's the prison thing, is he's the leader. He's the thing. He's like, these are my children, and you know, they made me very... He gets some great little like speeches too. That one he talks about, he's like, it was the proudest day. Now you might experience the proudest day of your life, where your child is going to save your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other great speech he gives is towards the climax of the film, when he's like to Becky, hey, I underestimated you. Like, full disclosure, I did. Mm. You should come with me, because there's no one's going to, you're an orphan now, and no one will adopt you.
A murderer orphan.
Yeah, they will just see you're a killer.
Yeah. And I killed your dad. Do you want a new one, basically?
Yeah.
It's a great little rationale thing, because he's technically right. We sort of see the bookend of both films, of the film, is her being interviewed by a psychologist and a cop about what happened, and she's sort of like, oh, I don't really remember.
Yeah.
Oh, she remembers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She remembers, and I think loved it. That's the really scary part,
bit,
is it?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
She loved it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to Becky, because I think... So, Tom, you chose this one, and you sort of delivered it to us as a bit of a Home Alone gone
bad.
Bad. Gone crazy.
And that's exactly what it is. It's like, what if Kevin McAllister in Home Alone wasn't a sweet, innocent child, but the angriest teenage girl in the world?
I think the choice of a tween girl who's like got reason to be angry, and the fact that she's lost her mum to cancer and her dad's
moving on and she's not ready to.
But even just being a teenage girl and the chaos they can cause is a very nice choice.
It reaffirms for me a long-held belief, which is there is nothing on earth scarier than a 15 to 16-year-old.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Teenagers, there's that great song by My Chemical Romances. The chorus is, teenagers scare the living shit out of me. And in my 30s, that holds up. There is something terrifying about the rage in youth.
Yeah.
I'm glad I like it being harnessed for the right purposes, you know, protesting things, not going to school.
Killing Nazis.
Yes. You know, all the good things you should be doing.
Right.
But there's a level of danger, and they really play it well. Like, there'd be people you could watch this movie and be like, oh, it's ridiculous that she'd be able to overpower these people. But she's actually quite clever in the way that she does it. She's genuinely surprising them, because, again, she's a teenage girl and they're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And she has this funnel of rage, which they hint at earlier in the film, where she's watching that fight at the school, and she's just dead. Like, she's just nothing inside.
Yeah.
And I love the repeated sort of motif of her, like, theme, if you will.
Mm.
Whenever she's like tooling up or getting ready to do something, they do that really fast, aggressive breathing in the score.
It's a great bit of music.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. They're cooking. They really are. Like, I love 80% of this movie.
Probably. Yeah.
Maybe even 85%. It's really fucking good. It's on tone, and it just sticks it. The editing, I think, particularly is awesome in that first block. But then it does keep, like, they come back to those match cuts sort of late as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's consistent the whole way through.
There's that excellent one where Dominic has her dad outside and he's on the radio being like, this is what we're going to do.
And the camera merges.
Camera merges in two shots. Yeah. So they're just moving. It's like they're in the same room together, but she's off in the woods. Ah, that's good stuff.
I don't like dad.
No.
Jeff Winger.
Not a particular fan of Joel
McHale. You hit that really well.
Don't think
you literally shows up on screen. God, I can't wait for this fuck to die.
Don't think he's the strongest actor.
No,
I think he's perfectly suited to a Jeff Winger community role.
Yeah.
Not great in this. He has a particular moment where he shows his inability to get the job done.
Yeah.
I also just like, I feel for her, because he's like, the mum died a year ago.
Yeah.
And he's already fallen in love with the new girlfriend and is going to get married. And it's
engaged,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, mate, you shouldn't be bringing it up with her in this way.
No.
It just seems strange to me. He brings them there and then tells in front of her. It's like, have a private conversation with her.
Yeah.
Test the waters first.
Yeah.
He seems like a bit of a dipshit.
I think he is a bit of a dipshit. I think he's, like, especially because he's moving on. Like,
I'm moving on and I'm dragging you along with me.
Right. And it's kind of like, it's that thing of like, if I just talk calmly, I'm in the right here. You're like, well, no, you're still not using your empathy right, because clearly for her, there is no like way you can deliver this in a nice way for her. But definitely doing it with the woman and her son there is easily the worst way.
Yep. Like, pick the worst option.
Yeah. Yeah.
The stepmom.
Yeah.
Good character.
Yeah, she really grew into
and a good actress. Yeah. Like, by the end of it, I'm like, she's delivering some fucking good stuff.
Oh man, what was the real one that cooked us? Oh,
fuck, do you remember this one?
Is it the one where she's like, Becky is, she's resourceful, incredibly vindictive, and you've just killed her last surviving parent.
Good luck.
I'm like, oh, that's good.
That worked.
That was like some Taken stuff.
Yeah,
that was good.
where she's distracting him because Becky's peering in through the window through the smiley face eyes. And she distracts him. We're like, what's the fucking point here? Like, what are you doing? And then she's like, how long did it take you to get this stupid or something? Yeah. It's so good. Just goads him completely. And he's like, I love that his line too. He's like, I'm not just doing it for my people. It's you as well. And she's like, fuck off.
That line and him talking about the key made me so curious to know what the key opens.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I get that it's the MacGuffin thing and it's not like, but him saying that, it's like, well, what is it then? Because that's not money. Like, what is it beyond money then? I can get behind not ever seeing the result of the key if it's just like a lockbox full of treasure or money or
Nazi gold.
But yeah, it seems like to him at least, it's worth something more. And maybe he's just got a warped brain and that's his ideals or whatever. But I wanted to know what it was.
I really wanted to know as well.
Yeah. I've been percolating on it. I don't think it's money or gold. I think it's weapons because I think he's like, race war. That's how you fix this.
Right.
He says the
we're putting everyone back in their place.
Yeah, he says things have been getting muddied. I think it's like, it's bombs. It's like a decent arsenal of weapons.
Okay.
I think he wants to do like a big terrorist attack.
See, this is where, so we haven't watched the sequel. We're considering doing it at some point. This is where I wouldn't mind Becky getting her hands on something
on
like
those
that.
Weapons.
I don't think that's going to ever come back.
No. She's meant to be to use the tools around her, I think.
I think she'll wear her rage. I think for her holding onto the key at the end and her looking at it and being happy with herself is like,
that's the trophy of the victory.
I've still got it.
That's a fuck you.
You fucking idiot. I've got your key, you dumb Nazi.
All you wanted was his key. You didn't get it.
You didn't get it.
I'd kind of love if the sequel is his people coming after the key again. Mm. Normally, I'd be happy for a sequel to do a completely different thing, but I got to know.
I think they've accidentally put too much juice in the key. I really want to know.
They've really got you boys fired up.
Yeah,
do you want to, you know who the villain is in the second one is Sean William Scott.
That's juicy.
As like a proud boy type.
Yeah.
See?
Called the Noble Boys.
Does he want the key?
Sounds like he just wants to do some domestic terrorism.
Okay.
Go for the key, Sean.
Deal.
I think these movies are one of those things where it's like what Kevin James is actually after is largely irrelevant. It's more that he crosses paths with them.
Yeah.
And then inadvertently steps into a hurricane of violence.
Yeah. Well, let's get to our
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Questions. So where are we scared?
Tell you what, for some of the people getting killed, I was like, this could be really gory. And then the gore is through the ceiling.
I was disgusted.
I was definitely, there was one scene I was very disgusted by.
Eyeball.
Which is the eyeball, which first of all starts with an incredible line where he's like, where's the key? He's finally got her. We're like, fuck, he's already got Becky. That's weird. That's happened faster than expected. And then she says, here, and shoves it in his eye and then rips it back out again, which then makes his eye pop out and he's hanging around. And it took me a minute to realize it was hanging off there because he put his hand over it.
When he's like, I can't see what's going on. It's like, yeah, you can't see because your eye is detached.
Right.
And then he has to, it's so fucking gory how the guy tries to help him by cutting it with the shittest scissors on earth.
It takes so long.
He's just
long.
Sitting in the kitchen eating. He's like, oh shit. And then just trying to hack at it
with the little tiny scissors. Kid and scissors. He's like, what are you doing? I can't, because he can't see. And then he holds it across to his other eye and he's just like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, grabs a knife himself.
Are you okay, buddy, Sean?
It's just disgusting.
It's like really revolting.
Yeah, I don't want to rethink about it. I don't want to think about it. I really don't. It's disgusting. It's the worst. One of the worst. I think it's one of the worst ones we've seen.
Do we need to describe it?
I think we do.
I think we're
for those of you who are never going to watch this because you're cowards and this is what our show is, we have bravely done it for you.
You've got 10 seconds to describe it to the people. Go and then I want to move on with my life. Right,
so after the bit we just talked about, Kevin James puts his head down on the table, puts the eye with the strand almost like on a chopping board, grabs a knife, has a few hacks and finally gets it and chops his eye.
Yeah, it doesn't go. It doesn't go straight away.
No. Nah. It really drags out this whole, like, first with the little scissors and then with the knife. I'm trying to do it fast. It really drags out. That, for me, was the most gut-wrenching part.
Time.
All right. A fact for this scene, though, that is maybe going to add some lightness because we can remember it is just a movie.
It's licorice or something?
No. So, for the scene where he had to do that, the prosthetic proved harder to cut than expected, and the shot went on for a long time with Kevin James sort of screaming and cutting before he actually finally managed to succeed. And when he did, he just burst out laughing because he's like, this is the most ludicrous shit. Why have you given me a prosthetic I can't fucking cut? Well, that's the whole scene.
That's very
did
funny.
They leave that in, that shot?
Well, that's interesting because, like I said, it went on for a long time for us watching it, and So, to be honest, the length of it, I think, is what worked for that scene, is what made it so horrible to get through.
Grottiest of grotty, I think.
Very, very grotty.
It's such a big, like, we talk a lot, I think, about, like, someone getting stabbed in the hand or something. It's been a big thing because you use that a lot. Losing an eye is fucking crazy.
It's really fucked. And because normally you think, oh, they've, like, you would stab the eye. That's awful enough on its own. But the idea of him having to cut this thing, and it's like, again, I know we're back on it, but it's like, thicker than you think it should be. Yeah, all right, that's enough.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I don't think, is that scary because it's too John Wick, it's too Taken, but just with a 13-year-old girl.
Also, the violence has been committed against fuckheads.
And yeah, well deserved.
Okay, I've given this 3 stars and a lot of it, I knocked a little bit off because I didn't like the lighting and I thought 2 stars was a poor choice, even if maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it is. Another thing, the dog.
Yeah.
The dog murder.
Dora.
The dog murder and then the dog underutilization.
That is a separate issue. Okay. That is a pain in the ass because that dog should have been like, we'll come back to that dog.
Okay, we'll circle back around.
The dog that died, not only do you have that sinking feeling of, oh no, they're going to hurt the dog.
Right.
And then that even worse feeling of they did hurt the dog and then they've hurt the dog multiple times.
Yep.
And then they're going to show the hurt dog way more than they have to.
So
for a movie
more.
That occasionally pulls its punches in terms of the violence.
Yeah,
sometimes someone, the driver at the start gets his head bashed in and you just see some blood on the windscreen.
Yep.
You don't actually see the physical violence.
Yeah.
I don't need to see gunshot holes in a dog three or four times.
It's infuriating, yeah.
If we weren't doing it for the show, that's a movie I would have stopped watching.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Don't like it. Don't like unnecessary violence to dogs.
No, it's very
just
hard.
Just to make a point of, these are bad guys. Right. It's like, I know they're bad guys.
They're fucking Nazis.
They've escaped from prison and they're fucking Nazis.
To be fair, it also gives them a plot point because it's like they pretend the dog is Becky and then it goes on for a little bit and then Kevin James finds a backpack and has that great bit where he's interrogating the camouflage shirt guy where he's just like, is this a backpack a dog would have? And he's like, dogs don't have backpacks. He's like, yeah, Tom, they don't.
Can you think of a way around it though? There is.
Yeah,
clearly, they see the dog. The dog fucking gets away and runs away and they go, shit, we're going to be in trouble. We'll just lie and say,
got him the dog. Yeah.
You have him shoot the dog, but you don't need to see the dog being shot.
Yeah.
It's still bad. You hear like bang, bang.
The worst part of it is that they just kept cutting back
really
on the ground.
It's like, even like 15 minutes later, we saw it again. Yeah, like crazy.
It's just, I hate that. I really do.
It is very funny because the minute you see the orange camouflage guy, you're like, oh, you're getting fucked up because you hear the bit at the start where she's describing what's happened and she's like, oh, yeah, he was wearing an orange camouflage.
Yeah.
The minute he shows up, it's like, man, you're going to die so bad.
He does, but not in the way that he probably should have. Mm, the other dog should have ripped his dick off.
Yeah.
Let's talk about underutilized dog.
Let's jump into that.
So she's got the dog who is like the companion dog they mentioned at the start, follows her every command. And
does
it's like,
whatever
great,
she says.
This dog is going to cause some carnage.
Right.
Does almost nothing. Is sort of locked away in a fucking treehouse and in a car.
Literally, I don't think it bites a single person.
It bites Kevin James.
No, it rips. So
rips into his arm and then I think he punches it
and
shuts the door and locks it back in the car.
From what you can very badly see in the light in that, and I saw it better when I was watching it before, his arm is very fucked up by that point.
Yeah.
Like it's basically.
I think he punches it a few times then manages to shut the door.
Right. Well,
the way it's shot so poorly too, that there's a moment where you think that he's slamming the door against
the
dead or something. You're like, oh, has he killed another dog?
Right.
But no, the dog was fine. But underutilized, like she didn't even really give the command. Like I wanted moments in the movie where she was like telling the dog to do this or go after that person.
Yes,
or
exactly right. It also gives more credence to the fact that this 13-year-old girl can do so much damage, which I actually really didn't question too much. I think they did well showing, one, her rage and then, two, her smarts. And again, I love a dumb goon and we've got some dumb goons in this biz.
The only one who gets the jump on her is Apex, who's the kind-hearted one. He's like, I can't kill you because you're a kid.
Right, even though he's already done that.
Even though he's already done done it. He's the only one who technically could take her out because he's got to rights. And then he can't do it. He's like, I'm going to walk away. I hope you do too.
Yeah.
I do love the subversion of that where later in the film, he basically helps her kill Kevin James.
Because he's tired of killing kids.
Because he's tired of killing kids. Yeah. And then you just get him like off camera being like, oh, I'm going to carry this with me forever. You know, I hope that by saving your life, it'll make up for the fact. And she just doesn't even look at him and just shoots him in the head.
Yeah,
and it's very funny. Because she's like, doesn't fucking matter.
It gives you what
you
want.
Fuck you.
Yeah. The movie does give you what you want, especially that other guy who gets killed by the boat.
Oh,
that was fantastic. I saw that boat at the start of the movie and I was like, I hope this is a setup for a boat-related murder. And it was. It was fantastic.
What I love too is she slowly reverses into him too.
It's so slow.
Like, it's not like she runs him over. She backs it in, and then because it's a little prop motor, once it gets caught on him, it kind of fucks up, but it's slow and painful.
She's enjoying her work.
She does seem to relish it.
Yeah.
I'll give her that. Which, like, fair enough.
Yeah. So, camouflage guy gets a really brutal death.
Yeah.
It's a great death. It's a cool scene. Kevin James, maybe it's the lighting and we couldn't see what the fuck was going on. It's a pretty lackluster death.
I will say, I don't think it's fair to call it lackluster. I think it's a impactful death, but I think the lighting means that you can't revel in the impact. He gets his face ripped to shreds in a lawnmower.
Not just the lighting, but I actually think weirdly, like, again, for the guy in the orange shirt, his death, they shot, so we knew every moment what she was doing. We knew the
ruler in the neck and the blood running down the ruler.
We really got exactly where she was, where he was, why he couldn't get her. Where with this one, we saw her on the little tractor thingy, but even then we're like, oh, I think that's a mower. I think there's a blade on the back of that, but we weren't 100%.
Yeah, we never saw her turn it on, or you can't hear it.
Right.
Well, unless it's one of those things that it's like plugged into the
It could AVs. Be one of those ones where as soon as you turn on that, it automatically comes on perhaps.
But again, I just think, why would you not really relish in that moment and kind of shoot this as a hero thing, have her like stand above him, crank it on so he's like really like aware of what's about to happen, aware of what's about to happen. Like build up to that so much more than
or
what
even if
did.
She just rolls out on it. The issue is it's so dark in the scene that you can't even see his face realizing he's fucked. You don't see like the teeth of the mower. Like just light it better. I think the death is a good, brutal, violent. It's what you want.
It's a death for a goon, not the boss.
No, I think it's a good boss death.
No, it's not. And
but it's not lit well.
You had it in the face. That's the moment I think you need in this kind of movie.
Needs to be more personal.
There needs to be a moment where he knows he's lost.
Yeah.
And we see the, oh, fuck. He doesn't have to say anything. It's just the, dead. It's the Hans Gruber face as he's falling.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You need to see that look on the face.
He probably does. The issue is you can't see it because it's not lit well enough.
No, but even like in the shots that we got of it, they don't show that.
We just sort of see her drive up to him and then you're like, oh, what's happening? And then she drives away and his head's cleaned off.
The moment I love was she's got the water gun with the petrol in it.
Yeah.
Lights him on fire. But then completely fucks it to the point where she should have died.
Yeah.
Because it was just silliness from her. But like she covers him in this stuff, right? Even after that. The perfect moment to use the dog would be to have them standing face to face and then she does a whistle or a command to the dog and the dog jumps into him and he falls back into the fire and catches
off
fire.
Off he goes, yeah.
Should have killed him in fire.
And then she could have grabbed the marshmallow, literally roasted it over.
She could have sat down and had a marshmallow while this guy's fucking burning.
Yeah.
It would be cool if he burns. She's like, great, I've got him, but because it's a slasher, he's not dead. And then she runs over him with the mower.
Yeah, that would have worked fine. Yeah.
Yep.
But again, I think it just needs that personal.
Or even, you can run over him with the mower, but he's not dead. And he still gets up and then you kick him into the fire. I just need to see his face. I need to see the loss.
Yes.
Yeah, not fair.
Because it's just, he gets caught up in the tangle of fighting Apex and she runs him over.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, to me, that's a death that is not befitting of the main guy.
The main villain,
who deserves the most torturous death.
Exactly.
Deserves to know that he's lost.
I guess you're right. I know
it's a horrific death, but in the way, in cinematic terms, in the way they shot it, it's kind of a nothing one.
Right. The gore levels are fine. It's the story elements of the retribution and him understanding.
Even just the lighting. I reckon if you lit it
but it's
just slightly
so much
better.
So much of it is a cat and mouse game between he and Becky. And it's just, you've got to have them, I think, locking eyes as it comes to an end.
Yeah.
To him, he's just been run over by anything. Like, what is that?
Right.
Oh, and I'm dead.
Yeah.
I got to have the moment.
Let me ask this then. Did our character act wisely or foolishly?
She does some good stuff.
She's very good.
It's the fire thing at the end where it's like, it's crazy. It's that thing that Holly always gets angry about where they get one stab in, but don't keep stabbing.
They don't finish the job.
You've got him on fire. Keep shooting
him. Still got more petrol
then
in the
thing. Doesn't she do the thing where she like runs around the side and then like tries to run away, or does she jump on him? Or it's kind of like, don't get so close.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an enormous man.
Right.
You're psycho.
Well, she's actually played it perfectly where she's sitting on one side of the fire. He comes up to her and then she slowly circles around, making him circle around. And she's doing that so she can actually get to the water pistol.
Yeah.
She's obviously filled it up, put it there, but thought, if I have it straight to begin with, he might not come close enough. Gone Round Done It gets that great shot of the Petula arcing over the fire, catching on fire, burning him. And then, yeah, he takes a few steps back long enough, and she's just standing there holding water pistol, which has more gasoline in it.
Just shoot him up.
And then the fire goes out, and then she shoots him a few more times with the gasoline. And I think, oh, okay, so now he's drenched in the stuff, waiting for that to pay off.
Yep, and it doesn't.
Frustrating.
It is really frustrating.
Yeah.
As a fire guy,
frustration. She's very clever in every other aspect, though.
Yeah,
when
of she, course she
when
is.
She throws the quarter to say, "Oh, that's the coin. Yeah, that's the key."
That is.
And then she makes the snaps the ruler, turns the pencils into knives, does her little like bungee jump thing onto his back. The way she sets the trap for the other guy, just all the little things she does. Even when she's trying to get her backpack and realize I can't get the backpack, I'll get the radio. I'll go that, and that'll do something. And then even her like thing to lie about going to the police first. No, actually, I'm at the neighbors. And then using the radio to taunt him and call people, but then, you know.
She's not believable in the moment on the radio where she says, I've gone to the neighbours. But again, it's like a 14-year-old kid.
Right.
She's trying to get him out.
Yeah.
She's trying to... And then she realises that's not going to work. You're going to have to get your hands dirty. And I love the bit where she radios him back and she does the rhyme about the little girl with the curl.
The little girl with the curl.
And when she was bad, oh boy. And just the look on his face and her face, it rattles him because he's like, what have I stepped into?
Yeah. It's those moments like that one and when the stepmom gave her a little speech where this really worked for the genre, the sort of cross genre that it's going for with the action vengeance thing that we've seen so much. They nailed that. Like we've seen a lot of that in recent years in cinema. Mm. And so for them to come in and go, oh, we're going to do it with a kid. You're like, oh, okay, this could be a bit tacky. And it's not. Yep. I believed it. I was there for it.
Even, you know, what's quite nice is some of the emotional beats. Like when she eventually when Kevin James is the last one standing, and she's doing her last little plan. Before she does that, she goes to the dad's corpse and she just kneels down next to it and she's like, hey, dad, you know, it's me, Chipmunk. Like she finally is like, calls herself Chipmunk. She's wearing a Chipmunk beanie.
Yeah.
Even that moment is like where her voice starts to get shaky because she's like, the last conversation we had, I was awful to you.
Mm.
I understand it was hard. Like, it's complicated, but I still love you because you were still my... Like, it's a nice little moment.
Even though the very last line you delivered to me was delivered so poorly.
Yeah.
I still love you.
The way!
Yeah. Like, that was his hero moment for Dad, where he's getting tortured by Kevin James.
Brutally, too.
And so he's gets put on the radio, tell your daughter to come here, and he's leading up, and it's like, yep, we can see why the Nazis think he's about to ask her to do that. But we know he's going to say run. And all he needs to do is deliver it in this like...
In a somber, quiet, emotional way.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And he doesn't. He goes hysterical and voice breaky and it's just bad acting, really.
It's not great.
Do you reckon it's the case of Marion Cotillard dying at the end of Dark Knight Rises where there were other takes, but the director's like, oh, we'll just use this one.
And it's a psycho choice to use that one.
And Mikhail's been fucked.
Maybe. I don't know.
The fact that they used that one makes you think that that's the one they want.
He went for the screech every time. Yeah.
Crazy from him.
Yeah, not great. Cool. Boys, how would we do in this situation?
Now, here's my question. Are we Becky or are we a bunch of
goons? We're Becky, man. We're not Nazis.
No, I'm not saying Nazis.
That's where you were going.
Let me pivot this.
You were walking pretty firmly down the path of Nazis.
How quickly would Becky kill the three of us?
So we're Nazis.
No.
You're putting us in the... How are we not Nazis in this situation?
What the fuck?
We thought we went along on this because we thought it was a King of Queens thing. He takes his hat off and we're like, oh, what?
We're still working with a Nazi.
I reckon we could do it because Sean.
Do what?
We could kill the Nazis.
Okay. Oh,
thank
okay.
God. I thought he literally just said, I reckon we can kill Becky.
No, we're not killing Becky. If we are getting, if Becky's coming after us, I think we die in about 2.5 seconds. But I think, Sean, your love of fire pays off.
Oh, big
time. I think you just burn him to a crisp.
We've got to get through a lot to get to that moment, though.
I think we can do it.
But we can probably just get there earlier.
I do like the Home Alone element because basically, as soon as we've been saying this since episode one, where once you realize you're in the shit, the first thing you need to do is weapon up.
Mm.
And she does. Once she's in that thing, she kind of looks at the picture, the painting her mum did, which, let's be honest, wasn't the best painting.
I think she did it.
No, the mum did. We saw her doing it in bed.
Ah, I thought it was her painting. I thought they painted it together.
No. It's by an adult. And it's not the best.
I'm sorry, Mum.
Joel McHale looks infuriating in it. Like, I'd love to punch. I'd love to punch him.
The scale is so funny because everyone is the same size.
Yeah. Including the dogs. Yeah. Anyway, she looks at that and then clearly she makes the decision. All right, I need to go on the offense.
Yeah.
And she weapons up. And it's beautiful to see. And they're kind of using slightly kid-ish things in the pens and pencils and the ruler and everything. So I think that's the key for us is that as soon as we realize we're in the shit, okay, we weapon up. Like... And then once you do, like, definitely for Apex to me, I think is the main problem. Kevin James also, but let's say we're doing what she's doing.
Yeah, we're kids because if we're not kids, Apex is just going to kill us.
Okay, maybe we're kids.
No, I reckon the three of us could take Apex.
As adult men?
Yeah.
He is a mountain of a man.
Go for those knees.
Okay.
He's got to take him down.
Go for that dick.
That's too big.
Swing it around. Choke him with it.
Yeah. yeah, he's a problem.
Yeah. The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
No, we've just got to convince him that he's on a bad path. Don't kill any more kids, mate. Join the Scaredy Boys. And then as soon as he's like, I think that joining the Scaredy Boys could be my way forward, kill him.
I think discussing horror movies and talking about my fear might be the therapy I need to get over murdering children.
Bang.
Okay, oh, he's done. All right. Okay, I'm on board for this.
Kevin James. Yeah, we can just burn him. You know what's an interesting thing in the film is they kind of lean pretty heavily at the start with Joel McHale. They're like, all right, we're going to torture him to drag her out. Then they kind of let up on that. Like, they don't really get stuck into the mum or the little kid at
all. Well, no, he goes in and he says to her, like, we're going to get hurt. And the mum's like, she doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to work. She won't listen to me.
I think a smarter villain would be like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to take you out there anyway and put a gun to your head and see what happens. I'm going to appeal to her morality and her
good sense. Right. Start taking some fingers and go from there.
He's also just was like, you know what? All right, fine. Fuck it. I'll... just go out there.
I think he trusts his team to bring her in. And also, at this point, he's lost an eye.
We've got to pick his team off one by one.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the fun part, if anything. This is where us home aloning and us weaponing up. I've been playing a bit of Horizon Zero Dawn lately.
Oh,
Tom
great game.
Gifted me his PlayStation 4.
Beautiful game.
Good boy, Tom.
Yeah,
well done.
Very well done. Yeah. Very kind.
I'm a hero.
Yeah.
He kind of gave it to
me.
He's a hero because he... Hell or High Water, which I've yet to do.
This is true. So sorry, I was about to call you a hero. You're not a hero.
No,
you're
that's fair.
You're a piece
I'm
of
a
shit.
Hero in training. Okay, oh, okay. Let's not go all the way from 1 to 0.
I'm caught in the middle here. Tom shaking his head at me.
But what I love about
you're both pieces of shit. No, I love you both. Okay, Becky.
What I love about Horizon Zero Dawn is it's all about stealth. I love a bit of stealth in a game. I'm not great at first person shooters.
I don't have the patience for stealth.
I love it.
So I'm playing like Last of Us, and I'm like, just put me in the fight, coach.
No.
Just let me
I
fight
love
and die.
The stealth,
and you die straight away.
You guys have probably got to. I'm the dog. You've got to lock me up, and then unleash me at the end for the fight.
We're Horizon Zero Dawning.
Yes. We're in the bushes, laying
Rise of Tomb Raider. The Tomb Raider games, they're all stealth. I'm with you, Damon. Yeah. I love a bit of stealth.
I like having the time to think.
Yes. And also with this, like, you can also give up on the stealth. And there are ways you can do that in these sorts of games.
That's what I do.
But if
it's what I do best.
If you stealth it, you don't get hurt.
Charge directly at the thing.
Most of the time I die.
Yeah.
But sometimes I succeed.
There's a level in Last of Us, which you'll never get to because you're too scared.
How do you?
Where you fall through the floor of a...
shirt I'm wearing.
Yeah. You fall through the floor of a, like, college campus accommodation.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, clickers and those guys everywhere. But they're not awake yet, so you have to sneak around and kill them stealthily, and then they slowly wake up one by one. If you rush in that fight, you get overwhelmed and die pretty much straight away.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you light a fire?
Yeah, you can throw Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, but that probably wakes the other ones up.
Yes. Yes. You got to stealth kill a bunch of them. So
it's a son of a bitch of a game.
So there's only manageable ones
but
left.
But that's life. We could take Kevin James down.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like Apex, Apex is the big one.
Yeah.
The other two are dipshits.
Mm.
They're fine. We can take them down. Yeah, so we have access to all the little supplies that are in the treehouse.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think I'm probably carrying a knife anyway. If we're going anywhere near a forest, I've got a knife.
You've got a knife on the belt.
Yeah.
Really?
Of course.
I mean, I guess I would also have a knife
in my bag right now.
Do you really?
Yeah. You'd have your mushroom knife.
I'd have my mushroom knife.
Yeah.
This is true.
Hey, would that take out an eyeball?
Oh, yes, it would.
All right. Well, there you go.
We got two knives and two eyeballs. Yeah. Let's blind him.
Oh,
don't stop at one. That's maybe the thing. He's completely rattled in that moment. I get she's a kid. She's going to run away.
Yeah.
We should have just taken him down. That's probably the moment to just get rid of him.
I would have loved if his second eye popped out and he can't chop it off this time. So he's trying to put it back in. And while he's doing that, that's when we finish the
job. We explain to him the visual way we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
You can't see this, but it's going to be good. Yeah. So can you give us a reaction where you know you've lost?
We say, Jerry Stiller sends his regards and kick him into the fire.
From hell.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Jerry Stiller.
King of Queens, motherfucker.
As we're like circling him and he's like lashing out at us, one of us gets in his ears just like, I'm the King of Queens now.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And I will be betting your wife tonight.
I do think this is one where I think we might be okay.
There are
guns involved.
Yes.
It could come to a crashing halt at any minute.
For sure.
Yeah. If we're smart, we pick off the two guys pretty easily, I think.
I think because you've got time. That's the beauty of it, is you've kind of got a bit of time to think things through, come up with a plan, especially with three of us. Come on.
Yeah.
And then, I think take them down one
it's
by one.
It's all about Apex. It's what we do with Apex.
Yeah. This is where I think Tripwire True. Because the harder they fall.
True.
Tripwire, get him on the ground, and then he's all of a sudden he's not so big anymore. He's still very big.
He is the cleverest out of them, though, because he like checks for clues, approaches methodically.
Yeah.
He, for instance, doesn't ask the very obviously dead man, "Are you okay? Hey, buddy, you good?"
He's the dumbest man ever.
Yeah. War odds. All right. Well, yeah, I think we do just fine.
Tripwire on Apex is good.
Let me ask one more question then, because I think part of Becky's superpower is her rage.
Yes.
What are your rage levels like?
So here's the thing.
Do you need to ask?
I'm more asking Tom than you. I know what yours
is. Here's the thing about my rage levels. Damo is, I'm a very nice, pliable man, but I'm also secretly maybe the second angriest man in the world. Second to behind Sean.
True, he's cooking.
Yeah, but I am so angry at so many things that it tires me out sometimes.
Yeah, right. So now having an outlet beyond sending the occasional tweet or whatever, it's all coming out.
Oh, yeah.
My tweets are my fists. Yeah, I'm ready.
I call this one Twitter and this one Instagram.
This one's X.
Get ready for some fucking blue sky right here. Oh, boys. All right. That is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you beautiful Scaredy listeners would like to maybe help us out, you like this show, you can do so by going over to patreon.com/Scaredy Boys, where not only are you helping us out, you're helping yourself out, because there is an insane backlog of episodes now. We're constantly updating with all sorts of beautiful, wonderful things. So yeah, go check that out. Otherwise, you can leave us a review wherever you listen. That helps a lot and makes us feel very special. Or if you'd like, you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on socials at either Scaredy Boys or Scaredy Boys Podcasts. Or individually, I'm at DamienRob.writer.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Just a little tiny ruckus.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.